Now, because the Yidden were like a matzah, that's why they went out of Mitzrayim. A matzah is flat, very simple, and it does not make itself to be big. Chametz, you know what chametz is? Chametz is the same like matzah, flour and water, but instead of being flat, it puffs up. It's full of puffed up air. And of course yeast, which is called soyer, and that makes it puff up. Now, you know what that is? That's like the Yetzirah, which makes a person a balgaiva. A person makes himself to be a big shot, a Mr. Metzias man. Now, why were the Yidden able to go out of Mitzrayim? Because they made themselves to be big and important, and they listened to themselves and what they want, or they made themselves low in front of Hashem, and they made themselves to be very low and flat like a matzah? Okay. So that's also connected with the matzah that we eat on Pesach, Kinelach, that it teaches us to be very low and very simple and humble and not a balgaiva. Because if the Yidden wouldn't have been like that, if they would have been like chametz, they would have never gone out of Mitzrayim. Okay. The Yidden leave Mitzrayim, Kinelach, on Pesach, the 15th day of Nisan. Beautiful springtime weather. Nothing happens by accident. Hashem made it a beautiful weather. The Yidden should be comfortable, and it should be a beautiful springtime weather for the Yidden to go out of Mitzrayim. Now, as we know, Pesach is a special day. Not only that the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, many things happened on Pesach. Do you know what happened on Pesach? Who remembers the war of the four kings and the five kings? And Avram went with his army to go and save Lot. And the kids and Eliezer and Avram went to against the four kings in order to get Lot back. And they had big miracles, throwing this sand with a straw. Remember? That happened on Pesach. Who remembers when Yaakov went into his father to get the brachas, and he put on the sheepskin on his hands, and he pretended that he was Esav, and he got the bracha for the bechor. You know when that happened? On Pesach. Who remembers the Maharal of Prague? Okay, he was born on Pesach. He was born on Pesach. Who remembers the story when Sarah was taken away by Paroi? Her name then was Sarai. She was taken away by Paroi, and Paroi wanted to marry her. And Avram was davening, and Sarai was davening, and Paroi was sleeping in his pajamas, and Hashem sent the malach in to do good petch to Paroi. You know when that happened? On Pesach. He took Paroi and he started smashing him into the wall. As we know, Kinelach, the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim not just to get away from being slaves. Why did they go out of Mitzrayim? Who remembers? Why did they go out of Mitzrayim?
To get the Torah.
To go to Har Sinai to get the Torah. That was the thing. Not just to go out of Mitzrayim. To go to Har Sinai to get the Torah. Now, there was a short way to go to Har Sinai. But if they would have gone in that way, actually, I didn't say right. Not only just to get the Torah and stay in the Midbar. That's not why Hashem just took them out, just to get a Torah and stay in the Midbar. But why did Hashem take out of Mitzrayim? To go to Har Sinai and to get the Torah and?
To give carbonates to him.
Okay, and where are they supposed to go to do all of the things in Torah and Mitzvahs?
Mishkan.
Okay, they had the Mishkan in the Midbar, but they weren't just going to stay in the Midbar with the Mishkan. Where are they supposed to go? Where is the special place that Hashem has taken them to?
Beis HaMikdash.
And where is the Beis HaMikdash going to be?
Eretz Yisrael.
They're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, there was a short way to go, but if they would have gone the short way, Hashem expected, if they would have gone the short way, there was going to be problems from the Plishtim, And goyim would make problems for them and start attacking them and making them trouble. And Hashem said, the Yidden are going to feel very bad if all of a sudden I took them out of Mitzrayim and all kinds of problems they're going to have. So Hashem took them around in a different long way. Also, Hashem is playing a very big trick on Paroi. Because he's not finished with Paroi yet, and he's not finished with the Mitzrayim yet, and he's not finishing punishing them yet. Because even with the 10 Makos, they're still getting off too easy for what they did to make the Yidden slaves for all those years. 210 years. And altogether, they were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. But of course, they were there for a while without being slaves. And this is what happened. Every day, Paroi sends spies into the Midbar, and he says, go tell me what's going on with the Jews. The Jews told me they're going into the desert to make a yontif. But of course, they're going to come back. I expect them to come back, right? You think the Jews are going to go back to Mitzrayim, to Paroi? Paroi says, I want to see what's going on with those Jews. Give me reports of what they're doing. I'm starting to feel bad that they left Mitzrayim without Moshe Rabbeinu. I knew he was a troublemaker from the beginning. And at first, the spies came back to Paroi. Oh, the Jews are going into the Midbar, 3 million people, and all their sheep and all their cows, and they're singing, and they're so happy. They're singing, Mi Mitzrayim Geyaltanu, Mi Beis Avadim Bedisanu. And they're so happy, it's Yontif Pesach for them, and they're having such a good time, because they're so happy they went out of Mitzrayim, and they're going in to get the Torah. And then a few days go by, and the spies are telling Paroi, you know, they're turning around and they're going back towards Mitzrayim. And in fact, they're going towards the Getchke Baal Tzefoin, the big, big Getchke Baal Tzefoin. They're going right towards him, back to Mitzrayim. And they're going close to the Yamsuf. And Paroi starts to get excited. Oh! The last Getchke in Mitzrayim was Baal Tzefoin, the biggest Getchke also. And none of the Makois broke off his head or smashed him or burned him up. And he was still there. Now, Kenalach, Paroi thinks that Baal Tzefoin has a koyach and he's calling the Yidden to him and he's keeping them in Mitzrayim. And he's calling them back to go back to Mitzrayim. So Paroi says, the Getchke Baal Tzefoin is not letting the Jews go out. He's calling them to him. And they're going, because they have no choice. They have to listen to the Getchke Baal Tzefoin. And so Paroi said to his generals, make an army and choose the best soldiers and the best chariots, the war wagons, and the fastest, strongest horses. Of course, how do they have animals and horses if they got killed in the Dever? Remember the animal sickness? How could he have horses to go pull the animal chariots? Yes?
They kept them in their houses.
Right. The ones that were afraid of Hashem, that had enough Yiras Shemayim for Hashem, they kept their animals in the houses. And these are the same ones that are giving the animals to go after the Yidden. You see what these people were? Even the ones that were afraid of Hashem, in the end, they gave their horses to go chase after the Yidden with the army. Paroi makes a huge army. The Medrash says, Kinalak, that there were so many soldiers for every Yid. If there were 3 million Jews, there were millions and millions of soldiers. And they start chasing after the Yidden. Now, they caught up close to the Jews at the end of the 6 days, 6 days after they go out from Mitzrayim. Now, the Yidden had, Kinalach, as we know, a pillar of cloud, and the Yidden had a pillar of fire. Now, what happened in the time they left Mitzrayim? They're going into the desert. So they started Kenalach big nisim. One of the nisim was called the Anane HaKavait. They go out into the desert. It's very hot, burning hot. Anybody that was near Israel and was in the desert knows what kind of a heat is the desert. And the sharp rocks and the biting spiders and scorpions and snakes. And of course the Yidden are worried, what's going to be with us to go in the Midbar? And all of a sudden, in the sky, they see seven clouds are coming towards them. Not like regular clouds blowing in the wind. Special looking clouds. One of the clouds goes over their head like a roof. Hey, look, it's making shade. It's already much better than before where the sun was beating down on her head. And then four clouds go around them like walls. Hey, it's keeping out the heat from the sides. It's nice. And one cloud goes under their feet like a carpet. Oh, this is comfortable. It feels like we're walking on a carpet. And we don't feel the sand even. It's so nice and soft. And if they got a little schmutz on their clothes, the cloud lifts up and washes it off right away so the clothes stay clean. Oh, this is beautiful. And how many clouds is that so far?
Five.
No. Six. And the seventh cloud went in front of them to show them which way to go, to lead them in the way. And any sharp, big rock in their way, it just crushes it. And the snakes and the scorpions stay outside. They can't get into clouds. Shh. Now, at night, the pillar of cloud went away to the back, and there came a pillar of fire, like a big standing up thing of fire, and it makes them light so they can see, you know, what's doing, and later on they can learn Torah when they get the Torah. And it was nice and beautiful. Now, Kenalach, at the end of the 6 days, the Mitzrim army catches up with the Yidden. And they can see the Jews. And when the fire is there, the fire is lighting up, mamish, like a daytime. And they can see the Jewish camp. And the army is coming closer and closer. They start shooting their arrows and their spears and their catapults. The pillar of cloud went around on the other side and it made a wall, and any of the things they shot went into the cloud, and the cloud just dropped it down and didn't go to the Jews. And then, do you remember that there were 6 days of Choshech only?
Yeah.
And now Hashem brought out from his special place the extra day, because he was keeping it, and he made now Choshech on the Mitzrim from the Makah of Choshech. They couldn't see. And by the Yidden it was light, and they had the light from the pillar of fire, and the Mitzrim couldn't see them. And this was the seventh day. Now, Kenalach, now the Jews come up against the Yam Suf. Now, of course, I told you before, another time, by the Getchke Baal Tzifoin, of course, they weren't just there because the Getchke Baal Tzifoin called them, not at all. What was under the Getchke Baal Tzifoin? A big room. And Levi, what was in the big room down there under the Getchke Baal Tzifoin?
The gold of Paris stole from Yosef.
That's right. One of the treasure houses of gold and silver and jewels that Paris stole from Yosef was under the Getchke Baal Tzifoin. And Paroi did not know that anybody knew the hiding place, but the Yidden found it out, and they went down there, and they were taking all the gold and silver and jewels and any of Paroi's toys that he kept over there, and they took everything for themselves that was really belonging to them. And that's why they went to the Getchke Baal Tzifoin to get all of that stuff out. Because Paroi thought that the Getchke Baal Tzifoin will protect it for him, that whenever he wants, he can go and get the stuff that he stole from the Jews. And now they're up against the Yam Suf. Kenalach, now we get ready for the big yontif of Shvi Shel Pesach. And this is why we celebrate Shvi Shel Pesach. The Yidden said, At any time, the big army will just come closer to us, and we are finished. We're cornered. The Yam is on one side, the desert is on the other side. The army is coming to us. We have no place to run. And the Medrash says there were four groups of Yidden. All the Yidden were in those groups. One group said, let's just kill ourselves in the ocean. We're finished anyway. Why should we let the midstream get us? Let's throw ourselves into the ocean. And another group said, no, of course not. We'll fight those Mitzrim until the last Yid. Even though we're outnumbered and they have more than us, we'll fight. Better to fight than Chasom to kill ourselves in the Yamsuf. And another group said, let's just put up our hands and give up. We'll go back to Mitzrayim. And we'll become slaves again even. Better to stay alive than to be Chas v'Shalom killed. We'll go back to Mitzrayim. We'll surrender. And another group said, no, we'll just take our sitter and daven to Hashem. Let's stand there and daven to Hashem. Daven to Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu got up, ken halach, as they're all, you know, talking what they want to do. And Moshe said, you're all wrong. Everyone is wrong. Even the ones that are just want to daven to Hashem. Everybody's wrong. And of course, everybody's standing there. They can't figure out what to do. Nobody knew what to do. And Moshe said, why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Why? To get the Torah. And where do we have to go to get the Torah? They all knew that. To Har Sinai. And where is Har Sinai? On the other side of the ocean. So let's go to get the Torah. What changed? Nothing changed. And of course people said, but there's an ocean, what do you mean? Kenelach Nachshein ben Aminadav was the first one to understand that you can't go by what you understand. You have to go by the Tzivui of Hashem, the command of Hashem, even if you don't understand. In a way of Nasav and Ishma, he said, we have to go and do what Hashem said. It doesn't matter if we don't understand. And he starts jumping into the Yam Suf. And people thought he was crazy. People thought he was out of his mind. It's meshuggah to jump into an ocean and start walking. And other people started to follow him. From Shevet Binyamin. And they said, yes, Nachshein has the right idea. To be a Yid, you go in a way not of what you understand, in a way of what Hashem says to do, even if you don't understand. Because Hashem is much far, Hashem is far, far beyond us, what we can understand. And when these people started jumping into the Yam Suf, Moshe Rabbeinu put his stick into the Yam, and it split, kinalach, the Yam split with a big, big miracle. Probably the biggest miracle that we ever had. Shh. And the Medrash says there were 12 tunnels, one for each shevet. And of course, the land was dry on the bottom, so they could walk through. And not only that, there were fountains of fresh water squirting out that people could have a drink. And not only that, there were flowers and fruit trees growing in the tunnels. If a person got hungry, they could pick off a nice fruity and eat it. And not only that, there was birdies singing. Because all of the, there's four kingdoms. There's the kingdom of rocks, things that don't grow. It's called doimen. That means quiet. Then there's the kingdom above that of plants, flowers and trees, and bushes, and grass, and vegetables. That's the higher kingdom than Doimim. That's called Semeach. Then there's Chai, which is the animal kingdom. Then there's Medaber. There's the Medaber, the people kingdom. Four kingdoms in the world. Because Hashem's name has four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Many things are four. And Hashem, Kinalach, was shining in all the four kingdoms. That's why all these things happened. It wasn't an extra miracle. Because the question is, why did Hashem do this? To show off? To make extra miracles? to make water squirting and fruit growing and birdies tweeting? No, it's not anything extra. Because Hashem was shining into the world to make the Yam Suf split, He was shining in all the four kingdoms. And miracles were happening everywhere at once, all together with one miracle. Because Hashem Himself is shining into the world. And the Yidden Kenelech went into the Yam Suf. And of course, like I told you, if they would have come to the Yam Suf and didn't have four different groups with Shilas, would Hashem had to make Kriyas Yam Suf? No. What would have happened? They would have walked right over the water without having to split the Yam Suf. And the Mitzrim chased after them. And as the last Yid got out, the last Mitzri got in, and the Yam came crashing down. Of course, they had Tzoras before that, with the wagons breaking, and the dry land turned back into the mud. And then, Kenelach, the water came on the Mitzrim. Mida keneged Mida. Hashem was setting that up to punish the Mitzrim. Because what did they do with water? They threw the Jewish babies, the boys, into the water. And because Hashem wanted to pay them back for that, He also made them drown in the water. And there was three different ways they drowned. One of them, they floated like straw. One of them were like a stone. And one of them was like lead. Remember I told you about lead? It's so heavy. Now, which was best and which was worst? Of course, you know, of course it's not a nice question to ask because all these people are dying. Okay. The best of those Rishoyim, they sank down like lead right away to the bottom of the Yam and they were finished off right away. The worst ones were like straw. What happens to straw? It stays on the top. And it goes down very slowly. And they were Kenelach. It says the horses and the riders together got stuck together. And they're going up and down, smashed to the bottom of the Yam and brought up to the top again. And smashed to the bottom and brought up to the top like in a washing machine, smashing around. Because they were the worst. They shouldn't be finished off slowly, but they should have to, chas v'shalom, suffer. Also, mida keneged mida, because they were the worst ones who made the most troubles for the Yidden. The ones that were nishtehin or nishteher, they went down like a stone. Not so slow and not so fast. And their chariots were covered with silver and gold and diamonds and jewels and rubies and emeralds and shining fancy schmancy stuff. And as it was getting smashed, all of the stones and jewels fell off, and it washed to the side of the Yam Suf. And all of this stuff was also from the Yidden. And the Yidden, Kenelach, went by the Yam Suf, they went down to the side, and they started taking this in bags. And they took more there, even than what they took out of Mitzrayim. What they took by the Yam Suf was more jewels and gold and silver than what they took at Mitzrayim, until Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, come on, let's go. You're getting caught up with money now. We're going to get the Torah. Let's go. Go away already. And the Medrash says that the poorest Yid had 90 donkeys full of silver and gold and jewels. Imagine you have 90 station wagons packed with silver, gold, and jewels. That's the poorest one. And the richest Jew, Korach, had 300 donkeys just with the keys, and each key opened up a treasure box of silver, gold, and jewels. So you can imagine how much they had with them. And all of this was not the main thing. It was because they're going to get the Torah. That was the main thing. Now you should know also a very important thing, that at that time the Malachim were arguing to Hashem. Some Malachim were arguing. They're called the Kitrug Malachim. They said, why should the Jews get out of the Yam and why should the Goyim die? The Yidden were not such big tzaddikim. They also did wrong things, and the Goyim also. Why are the Jews better? Mekinalach, at that time there was a din going on in the Shemayim that maybe Chas Shalom, the Yidden shouldn't get out of the Yamsuf. And Hashem said, I'm not doing it because of now, of what the Yidden are now. I'm doing it because the Yidden are going on to get the Torah. Now, there are two sides that are split. A side of water on your right side and a side of water on your left side. Hashem says, do you know why I'm making the side of water on the right side? Because they're going to get the Torah. And the Pasuk says, Miminoi Eish Das Lamoi. From Hashem's right hand, He gave the Torah. So because they're going to get the Torah that comes from my right hand, I made a wall of water on the right hand. Do you know why I made a wall of water on the left side? Because they're going to put on tefillin. Which hand do we put on tefillin? The left hand. Because they're going to put on tefillin, they get a wall of water on their left side. And the Malachim said, but they didn't do it yet. Hashem says, but they decided they're going to do it. When does Hashem's bracha come? When you do it or when you decide to do it? Now, from here is a very big thing we learn. If you make a hachlata toiva and you decide, I'm going to do a mitzvah, Bezuz Hashem, Bli Neder, I'm going to do a mitzvah, even though it's going to be in a few weeks from now, but you decided to do it, Hashem doesn't wait for a few weeks till you do it to give you a bracha. You already get Hashem's help and bracha when you make the hachlata toiva, when you decide to do a good thing. Who knows that the minig on a birthday is to make a hachlata toiva? And that will help you to have a good year because you decide to do good things for that year. And who knows that before Rosh Hashanah, to have a good year, we also make hachlatos toivos. You make good decidings to do good things because that brings the bracha of Hashem. The Yidden went out Pesach, the middle of Nisan. In the middle of Iyar, a month later, they ran out of food. 3 million people in the middle of nowhere, of the desert, and they need food. No stores to go to in the morning, no bakeries, and no markets, no grocery stores, no deliveries coming, no restaurants, no bagel shops. And 3 million people have to eat. That's feeding a lot of people. And no truckloads of food coming from who knows where, some kosher place. Now, some Yidden started getting very nervous and very worried and complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, what are we going to eat? We came into the Midbar to starve? We're going to die here, Chas V'Shalom? What's going to happen to us? We have nothing to eat. What's going to be? And of course, other Yidden said, wait a minute. Did we come out because we're going on a trip in the Midbar that we have to pack up everything? We had time to pack? I mean, we didn't come out just like a trip. Hashem brought us out here. Hashem brought us out here that we should go to Har Sinai to get the Torah and to go on to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, our Halakha great tzaddik, our leader, told us that we should go out in the Midbar. So, just like Hashem has taken care of us till now, probably Hashem will continue to take care of us. I mean, after all, He wants us to go, so He'll probably take care of us. But what are we going to eat? Well, we'll see. Don't be so upset right away. Sometimes you have to just be patient and see what's going to happen the next minute. And some of you were like in the middle, I'm a little bit nervous, but you know, after all, it does make sense to wait a minute and see what's going to happen. I mean, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't just do this to us. I mean, Hashem, he's a leader from Hashem. I mean, He wouldn't just take us out to die in the Midbar, would He? Hey, would He? Hey, no, of course not. And they went to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, there is a way to ask a question. Moshe, we ran out of food. What will we eat now? What are we going to eat? What's to eat? We're starving. I mean, there's different ways to ask a question. They went to Moshe Rabbeinu wondering, Moshe, what are we going to eat in the Midbar? 3 million people in the middle of nowhere. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't worry, because starting tomorrow morning is going to come a special food from Hashem. Something that nobody ever had in the world before. Hashem knows we're here and Hashem will take care of us. But it's also going to be a test, because there are rules for this food. Everyone will take a bowl which contains an omer, a certain amount. And they will be able to gather up this food, and it's going to be enough for one day. And no one is allowed to leave over for tomorrow, for the next day. At the end of the day, everyone will just have to spill out whatever is left, if there's anything left. Yeah, but what's going to be tomorrow after that? I mean, we'll have for one day, so what's going to be the next day? Don't worry, the next day we'll also have food. It's going to come.